Hi, I'm the Reverend Sarah Armstrong, rector of St. Martin in the Fields Anglican Church in London, Ontario. You're about to hear my sermon from Sunday, April 12, 2026, Easter 2, Year A. A collection of media from St. Martin's can be found on our website at stmartinslondon.ca. Thanks for listening. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, poor Thomas, right? You make one little mistake and you just never live it down. Known forever throughout human history as Doubting Thomas. I was thinking of this as I heard an ad for a service that aims to improve people's online reputations. Indeed, there is a whole business crafted around helping people redeem their reputation online, particularly when there are less than favorable things out there on the internet about them. We, as imperfect human beings, but particularly as Christians, ought to give people who have been labeled for their missteps the benefit of the doubt. And that pun was very much intended, by the way. Doubt does have a benefit. Doubt seeks. Doubt drives us to gain clarification, to learn more, or to have a better understanding of a thing. As Thomas puts it concerning Christ, doubt wants to see the holes in his hands and place a finger in his side. Doubt is not a turn away from something, but actually a turn towards it. So implicitly, when Thomas doubts, he is, in a sense, seeking more of the Lord. This is actually very different from what the rest of the disciples are doing, those who incidentally don't get labeled as doubters, as Thomas does. Our lesson today comes on the heels of St. John's account of the empty tomb on Easter, where the Lord appears to Mary Magdalene. She mistakes him for the gardener, but when he speaks her name, Mary, she understands that it is Jesus before her and exclaims, Rabboni. If you recall, he commissions her to go and tell his brothers that he is risen, similar to what we read in Matthew last week, go and tell my brothers. And she does do this. So the disciples gathered here in a locked room have been told that the Lord is risen. Why do they not go looking for him? Why do they not seek him out? Well, we do know that they are afraid of the Jews. John tells us this. But remaining in a locked room after receiving news of Jesus is a very different response than Mary has when she runs into the disciples and tells them that the body of her Lord is gone. If you recall, when she goes to Peter and John and shares this news, they have that foot race to the tomb and find it empty. And yet here, they and the other disciples remain in a locked room. They are indeed afraid. I believe the reason that they're afraid is not for fear of the Jews or of Roman officials, who they were much more likely to run into at the tomb than at home where they're locked in. No, I believe that they were afraid to find the risen Lord. Now, why might this be? Well, fear and shame are close acquaintances, companion feels to each other. Think about what these men's final interactions with Jesus have been before he is crucified. They have fallen asleep in the garden when Jesus asked them to stay awake for a while and pray with him. And then for most of the disciples, they have watched their friend be crucified far off. Peter specifically has denied his Lord three times. Now, let's have a moment of honesty, everyone, okay? Can you think of a situation where you have done something to someone that you're ashamed of, and then you're afraid to see that person afterwards? I used to live with two housemates, And one of them, I will say generously, was less concerned with messes than I am. In a moment of deep frustration, I texted one roommate complaining about the other's mess. Or at least that was my intention. Have you ever done that thing where you mean to send a text about someone, but you accidentally send it to them? Let me tell you, I know we're laughing about it now, but let me tell you, it was awful. I was locked in a room for a while after that. I was afraid to see my housemate because I was very ashamed of what I had done to her. Words are powerful. I tell my kids this all the time. Words are powerful for good or for ill because they can hurt. But a text is a text. Can you imagine the overwhelming sense of shame that the disciples felt as they hid in that locked room? Perhaps you have had moments in your life where you have felt this way as well. The disciples do not seek Jesus out, but the good news is that Jesus seeks them. He literally goes through a wall for them. He finds them, and what does he say? He doesn't say, "You owe me an apology." He doesn't even implicitly point to their shortcomings by saying something like, "I forgive you." No, he says, "Peace be with you." And he says it twice to them in that first interaction. Peace be with you, the Hebrew word being shalom. Now, often when we hear the word peace, we think about peace meaning the absence of conflict. But the word shalom means that and more. Shalom means that everything is in its right place. Everything as God created it to be. It means restored relationship. So when Jesus speaks peace to the men who are hiding because they're afraid to see him, he's saying, everything is all right between us. This is quite an amazing thing that he offers to them. Everything is all right between us. And Jesus doesn't leave it there. He then sends them out as he has sent Mary out. Not on their own, because he has promised them before the crucifixion that he will not leave them as orphans. So he breathes on them his Holy Spirit. This is the same way in which God breathed the breath of life into Adam in Genesis. They are given the breath of life to go out and proclaim that he is risen. I want you to consider for a moment whether you have had times, or perhaps this is the time, when you have locked yourself in a room away from Jesus. Fear and shame have made it difficult to seek him. I suspect that there are people beyond these walls here, who have doubts that are pushing them to seek the risen Lord, but they're afraid to come because they are in a locked room, metaphorically. They are deterred by a sense of guilt or shame. This is why it is imperative that we, like the disciples, hear the invitation to go out here from here this morning, understanding the peace that is between us and our Lord, and speaking this very peace to others. Jesus' message to those who are afraid is shalom. Everything is all right. You see, we don't have to wait until people die to live the good news of Easter. It is true that each of us lives in the sure and certain hope of the bodily resurrection, for our Lord is risen. But we get to know the peace of Christ now, today. And it is indeed life-changing news. This morning, when we exchange a sign of peace with one another, let's recognize that we are participating in that very offering. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And let us claim his peace as we seek to declare shalom to everyone who is living in fear or shame, so that they may be free of it. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you're interested in visiting St. Martin's, our service of Choral Eucharist is at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We're at 489 Pine Tree Drive in London, Ontario. For more information about visiting, a list of services, and upcoming events, please visit our website. Again, it's stmartinslondon.ca. Until next time, grace and peace be with you.